If you have ever been started on what's called SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are a very common group of antidepressants, you might find that you have increased appetite to start with. It is nearly impossible to lose weight, and particularly this is important for men. You need to lower the estrogen into a normal range. How do you lower estrogen? You help your liver metabolize it more. If your brain is on and you're in that aroused, sympathetic state, you're secreting all those stress hormones. And when you're secreting those stress hormones, you're likely to be producing extra insulin and making belly fat. Welcome to Hormones with Sam, your guide through the confusing world of hormone health. I'm your host, Sam Beaupatrick, here to help you demystify and unlock the secrets to living a vibrant, happy life. Together, let's make hormones fun and sexy. Welcome back to Hormones with Sam, where we make hormones fun and sexy. And today we're going to be discussing 10 hormonal reasons why you possibly are not losing weight. In fact, in my experience of over 20 plus years in a natural medicine clinic, I've found that people might be eating incredibly well. They might have a fantastic exercise regime and they still won't be losing weight. It might be on their thighs, on their buttocks, it might be on their belly. And the reason they're not going to lose weight using those strategies, although they're essential, is because their hormones are out. So let's unpack it. Let's look at some of the common ones and see if you relate to any of these. Now, general information only, if you really want to know, I highly recommend doing the saliva hormone test. But let's just break these ones down. Now, you would have heard me talk about stress in previous podcasts. When our body's in a stress state and it is worried that its life is under threat, we secrete a stack of what's known as stress hormones. Now, stress hormones typically are adrenaline, testosterone, cortisol, noradrenaline. And I'm going to take each one of these in its own merit and explain why they may be leading to fat gain, but also the reason why you can't lose weight. So high cortisol. Cortisol is a really incredible hormone, and I think you'll start hearing it used a lot more around the traps nowadays because, you know, 10 years ago when you're talking about hormones, people were a bit like, oh, it's a bit of an enigma, a subject we don't know much about. But now as people are getting more burnt out, more stress in the community than ever before, cortisol is a hormone that definitely has to be discussed. So high cortisol does a couple of things. It goes up to the liver and it says to your beautiful liver, which sits just under your rib cage on your right-hand side, to make cholesterol. It's one of its roles. So with that cholesterol production, and the reason it does it is because it believes that it might need to produce a whole stack of new cells, and cholesterol is important in that process, it may end up leading to what's known as a fatty liver or extra deposition of fat. And that's all because your cholesterol is too high. Cortisol plays a role with your 24-hour body clock as well. So if there's any problem sleeping later in the night and you're feeling stressed up until that point that you're meant to be going to sleep, possibly your cortisol levels are too high. The third thing it does is it gets our body on guard and ready to repair. And we call these little things that it secretes, the prostaglandins and the interleukins, inflammatory markers. So cortisol augments or starts off the inflammation process. Now, those little things, those little chemicals, prostaglandins and interleukins, inflame our body and make us retain fluid. Often it will slow down the metabolism as well, but I'll go into that when we talk about metabolic hormones. The fourth thing that cortisol will do is it wants the body to have enough sugar ready for those muscles to run if you need to run from a near-death experience, even though it might only be a thought and there is nothing that's potentially threatening you physically. Our thoughts will take us there. So with the fourth role of cortisol is it'll go and release a stack of insulin. Now, insulin is important because its role is to grab the sugar out of our bloodstream and take it into the cells where it can be utilized in the mitochondria for energy. So with cortisol, there's quite a few things that it does in a negative way that may be contributing to weight. I'll explain at the end when I've discussed the stress hormones on how you can potentially and very powerfully and quickly lower cortisol. Along the similar stress pathway, we will release adrenaline. and its little cousin, noradrenaline. Now, both of those hormones, you might have heard of, oh, he's an adrenaline junkie, or I just got an adrenaline rush. What's happening when we're saying those things and what's happening in our body is we are actually getting a rush of adrenaline and noradrenaline. They are two very fast-acting hormones that get your body enabled to run away from something that, once again, is potentially going to take your life and threatening your life to a place of safety. So they call it the fright or flight or fright, fight, freeze. You might have heard it called out as, but I tend to refer to it as the sympathetic nervous system. So when those hormones are racing around our body, and they definitely do flood them, it's almost instantaneous, your body goes into a very alert on state. In that on state, your body does not want to be attending to other things like digestion, so it switches digestion off. It switches off things like making bowel motions. It switches off things like making urine. So when you're on an on state, all those things that would occur in a relaxed state, which we call the parasympathetic state, are put on hold. Interesting as well, when you're in the on state, digestion is just put on standstill. You won't be secreting digestive enzymes in your gut, the hydrochloric acid, as you need to release. Everything just, because, you know, is it important that you're digesting a buffalo at that point in time? No, it's more important that you're alert, you're taking in information rapidly, your body's getting all these processes ready. So if you need to escape in a very rapid hurry, it can do that. The non-essential body functions get switched off. Now, you might have had a couple of aha moments. If you suffer from constipation, you might be thinking, is it because my body's in a stressed state all the time? It could be. If you suffer with indigestion and burping or feeling bloating after food, it could also be that you're eating when your body was in this state, in the stress state, and digestive enzymes weren't switched on. It's very, I guess I talk about this in other podcasts, how you can switch down the stress, switch down the adrenal response and the cortisol, which I'll come back to at the end just to remind you on that. Testosterone is a hormone that both sexes will secrete. It's our competitive, get out of my way, I'm here to do business hormone. It's fantastic when you do want to lift a truck off somebody. It gives you an extra surge of, you know, masculine energy that you otherwise don't have when you're relaxed. When we're secreting a lot of it though, when we're secreting a lot of testosterone, when we're just driving around town or we're running late for our children's netball, or we've just taken another email at 7:30 at night and it sends us back into that, oh my God, work is switched on again state. We produce testosterone, which will then start once again augmenting that stress response, increasing insulin, and that's a real problem. I want to break down and take my time to explain high testosterone and high insulin and why they might be happening at the same time and why that mix is really deadly when it comes to making belly fat. So testosterone we produce when we're stressed. It's, you know, rah, get out of my way. I need to be more masculine. Testosterone is secreted by the adrenals, needs to be taken from the bloodstream into the cell, and it uses what's called a little GLUT4 receptor to do that. So it goes through the door into the cell where it can make us feel like that, rah, you know, stronger, more masculine and more able to carry out tasks, superhuman tasks. It's a super powerful hormone. Insulin also, when it's released due to sugars, raising blood sugars in our diet, or because where it's stressed and cortisol's asked it to do so, testosterone and insulin use the same doorway into the cell. So we've got lots of testosterone circulating around because we're wanting to man up or fearing for our life. It potentially will congest that doorway. If we've got high levels of testosterone, we end up with the symptoms of that, which are aggression, whiskers, acne, belly fat. But if testosterone gets in and insulin doesn't get in and insulin rises, we start switching on that process called lipogenesis, lipo fat genesis to make. And typically it'll go around the stomach. So making sure our stress levels are low before we eat is really important. The other things you can do around those stress hormones, the cortisol, the testosterone, the adrenaline, the noradrenaline, is taking 10 minutes when you go from using your brain to eating. I call it brain off, gut on. If your brain is on and you're in that aroused sympathetic state, remember your digestion is switched off. The parasympathetic isn't working, which means there'll be no digestion occurring. You're secreting all those stress hormones. And when you're secreting those stress hormones, you're likely to be, aside from just switching off digestion, producing extra insulin and making belly fat. The 10 minutes it takes to lower that system before you eat is really important. Switching your brain off from on to off, very important. Brain off, gut on. But so is taking time to eat. Slowing down, chewing food, in fact, they say 23 times is really important to release another hormone. And I want to talk about two metabolic hormones. These ones are leptin and ghrelin. Now, leptin is a very interesting hormone. It plays a role in telling our brain that we're full. So it goes from our gut through the bloodstream. Now, remember, hormones are like the little curious system of the body that buzz around the body, taking a message from one part to another. So when we've been chewing for over about 20 minutes or the stomach starts to expand, leptin is secreted, which then travels via the bloodstream back up to the brain that says that you're full. It's our appetite, I'm full hormone. If you eat too quick, if your brain is on and you're not allowing leptin to kick in, you'll miss that signal and you will overeat. Now, interesting research shows that people who are overweight underestimate how much they consume by 20 to 30%. And even normal people, when asked to keep food diaries, also underestimate how much they eat by 20%. If you want to lose weight, slowing down, switching your brain off, chewing, aim for 23 times, but if you can get over 10, that's probably better than you're doing yesterday, and allow leptin to kick in so you feel full. Leptin works with another hormone called ghrelin. Ghrelin is an interesting hormone because it tries to keep us at what's called weight set point. Now, weight set points, we've got multiple ones that occur over our lifespan, are only really being explored recently. And a weight set point is what the body deems as normal weight for you. And ghrelin is the hormone that determines that. If you start to lose weight and you drop below your weight set point, ghrelin will kick in and sabotage this thing. It'll sabotage your whole body and say, hang on, we're losing weight, we need to stop right now, and it slows the metabolism down. But obviously, if you're trying to lose weight, you want that to occur. So ghrelin imbalances are also pretty common. You need to ride sometimes above the hunger in order to achieve the ghrelin response. But also, there's a lot of research coming out that low-carb diets, high-impacting exercise can be quite harmful, and mixing it up is the way to go. So you might do a rotation of three, having low-carb day, just veggies, the next day loosening it up a bit, and on the third day having more carbs like maybe sushi or including some rice in there, and rotating it will help ghrelin bounce back in and do the job that it's meant to do, and then you can start to reset your weight set point. It's a difficult thing to do, but it needs to be done. Now, I'm going to include here with the metabolic hormones, thyroid hormones. Thyroid conditions are worthy of a podcast on their own. Our thyroid sits just below your voice box, just in that little groove, and governs our metabolism. It also is responsible for our moods and fertility and lots of other things. It's a very sensitive gland that produces your thyroid hormones. And if you're stressed, invariably I'll find that the thyroid suffers as well. Some of the common hormones that are important for sustaining the thyroid, and interesting, the pituitary plays such a big role in this. And in fact, the pituitary doesn't respond unless it gets stimulus from your pituitary gland, which is up behind your eyebrows, called thyroid stimulating hormone. So it's a hormone that goes down and says, come on, thyroid, it's time to wake up, it's time to go, and your adrenals do a similar thing. The TSH, the thyroid stimulating hormone, is the main hormone that doctors will measure on your blood tests. But interesting, sometimes your TSH is okay, but the two metabolic hormones, T3 and T4, are not okay. Now, to make the conversion of those two hormones, we need so many what's called cofactors. You need selenium, you need B6, you need zinc, you need good levels of progesterone, another favourite hormone of mine, vitamin D, CoQ10, B1, what else, B12. There are so many cofactors, and if you're lacking one of those cofactors, you might not get the conversion of those two metabolic hormones. If that doesn't happen, your metabolism will slow down. And this is where people who are very stressed will tell you that, you know, apart from sometimes they're not eating. So the, you know, gut on, gut off thing doesn't actually relate because they're not consuming a lot of calories, but they'll still gain weight. And that's because their metabolism just switched off, just like you'd switch off a light switch. Yes, it's important to make sure you're not stressed before you eat, but it's also important that you're having all those little cofactors for those hormones for your thyroid to be able to convert so you can keep your metabolism high, so you're burning calories at the rate that you were designed to do. I'm going to talk about some sex hormones now. The main one, and look, testosterone is medically considered a sex hormone. I always bundle it up with stress hormones because as women particularly, we secrete it when we're stressed as opposed to with our period, unless the period's really stressful, which it can be, but generally the impetus or the pushing component for high testosterone or squirting out testosterone is a stress stimulus. But your sex hormones, let's talk about estrogen and progesterone and how important the balance between those two are. When we produce too much estrogen, it's diabolical for weight. It does a couple of things. So estrogen wants our body to fall pregnant, to, you know, be, I guess, plump and juicy and be able to nurture a little growing being. So estrogen will stay high. Adipose tissue, which is fat tissue, also secretes estrogen. When it comes to weight loss, and I've read many research papers that suggest that if the person is overweight, you know, a couple of sizes more than they should be, then that fat tissue will be secreting estrogen. It is nearly impossible to lose weight if you've got high estrogen. That needs to be addressed first and foremost. Either a saliva test, or if you want to go on the assumption that your estrogen's high and if you're carrying weight, it will be, and particularly this is important for men, you need to lower the estrogen into a normal range. How do you lower estrogen? You help your liver metabolize it more. So superfoods like flaxseed, broccoli, green leafy veggies, lots of water, helping your liver clear it out and then making sure that you're using your bowels every day. You'll need, in order for your bowel to move, you know, every day, pass once or twice over the day, nice, soft, light brown bowel motion that's formed, which means it's not runny or light diarrhea, it has to be formed. You'll need to have adequate amounts of fiber, preferably through vegetables such as broccoli or celery, maybe some complex carbohydrates like brown rice or wild rice. Lots of water, because the bowel motion itself and the fiber draws in, the fiber actually draws the water to it, which is what gives it its bulk and its size. And you need to be exercising and moving if you can. Sedentary lifestyle will slow down that whole process, which is why stressed people, often because they're not leaving the computer, will have very slow bowel motions. So if you're not too sure what your estrogen levels are doing, and you know, there's a lot of conditions that will already indicate to me, a professional, that your estrogen levels may be high, such as endometriosis or fibrotic breasts or cystic breasts, you know, lots of lumps and bumps, or PMS or heavy periods. They're all symptoms of high estrogen. Please consider doing the saliva test. It's not covered in most countries by their national healthcare schemes, but it pays such big dividends knowing that information, because until those levels are dropped or normalised, you won't lose weight and the rest will be, you know, just a lot of effort for not a lot of reward, which isn't what we're about. There's a couple of other hormones I want to touch on, and these tend to be brain hormones and work at a higher level on our society and how we metabolize or distribute fat. The first one is beta-HCG, or commonly known as BHCG. You might have heard of it because when we're pregnant, our levels go up, and that's one of the ways, apart from skipping periods, that we know a girl's pregnant. Her beta-HCG levels rise, and that's a blood test. There's a huge cohort of people out there who have low BHCG levels who aren't in the fertility zone anymore. So this is a different subgroup of people whose parents are likely and or other conditions have happened. When they were developing as an embryo inside their parent, the parent was experiencing low BHCG levels. So most of the research in this is done with the post-war babies. So babies born like after World War II, 1945, when there was scarcity of food, and what the body did was it grabbed anything it could, any calorie it could, and distributed it around the body. This low BHCG can be rectified by taking BHCG, but it's not experimental. It's been proven to work, but you also need to couple the diet with a very low calorie diet, and people just find they might get great results initially, but it's really unsustainable long term. So with the low BHCG, it resets the fat distribution to hoard. So you'll end up with it around your thighs or your belly, and it's because the HCG levels are low. In this instance, I would once again stepping back out of life a little bit, giving yourself permission to heal, look at what you're saying yes to, and develop a healthy association with food. Look at where your calories are coming from, make sure that they're nutrient rich, make sure that your body's well rested, and that you're doing the best to augment a balanced hormone pattern in your life. If you're putting your body under major stress, you will definitely affect all your metabolic hormones, and that's not going to help you if you're predisposed to low HCG levels. Serotonin, it's considered a mood happiness hormone. It's produced primarily, larger levels up in the brain. It definitely is associated with happy moods, low anxiety, making us feel good. With low serotonin, though, we can have an increased appetite. And conversely, high serotonin levels will switch off appetite. And it's one of the reasons why we think when people are in love that their appetite starts to diminish and they start to lose weight. But I also reckon that oxytocin has a lot to do with that, because oxytocin will naturally drop high testosterone and cortisol, and that happens when you're in love as well. So serotonin, if you have ever been started on what's called SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are a very common group of antidepressants, you might find that you have increased appetite to start with, and that's because of the impact of serotonin on our appetite. It's a real trick to watch out for with antidepressants, and making sure that you're filling up on salads first and committing to having healthy proteins, nice fats on that same meal will go a long way in making sure you don't gain weight when you start on an SSRI. Similarly, with some people, it's a very smaller percentage. It's a lot smaller, the percentage though. They will, with higher serotonin levels, have no appetite and will lose weight. But my experience, I did sell SSRIs as a pharmaceutical rep for a couple of years there. The feedback was that it's usually the higher serotonin levels that lead to an increase in appetite. So overall, some take-home grabs from today are: make sure, one, you don't eat when you're stressed. Make sure that you've gone from the sympathetic state when your gut is switched off to the parasympathetic or the relaxed state when digestion occurs. This way, you're making sure your cortisol levels are lower, your adrenaline and noradrenaline are lower, and if you're a testosterone big time secretor, it will also be lower. That will then impact on your insulin levels. We don't want spikes in insulin and we don't want drops in insulin. We want it to be nice and balanced throughout the day. This can be also augmented by making sure that you never have carbohydrates or sugars on their own, that you eat your carbohydrates, which are often plants, with some protein, and that stops that insulin spike. So we get a nice, smooth insulin level, which used to be called being in the zone. It still is called being in the zone. Now, remember the other negative impacts of stress on your thyroid, your sensitive, beautiful thyroid that just sits below your voice box. We want to make sure that it can do its job, that it can metabolize as great as it can do. You've got to have the cofactors on board and low stress levels so your thyroid can do its thing. And lastly, with the sex hormones, let's make sure that you're metabolizing them and not getting buildups within your body by eating a spectrum of rainbows within your meal, lots of proteins and great fats, drinking lots of water, and exercising to facilitate the passage of the detox of those hormones out of your body. Walking, swimming, gym, running, stand-up paddling, dancing, all those things will help your body to detoxify those hormones and help you balance your weight. So as you can see, the hormones that contribute to weight, there's a stack of them, but they can be managed mainly through lifestyle, through food, exercise, drinking clean filtered water, and making sure your mind is switched off before you eat. I'm looking forward to seeing your comments from this episode because I learned just as much from you and your successes as I'm hopefully helping you. Please leave a 5-star review. Share this one with your girlfriends. No doubt they're going to learn something new from this. I'm looking forward to helping you make your hormones fun and sexy and losing some weight through balancing your hormones. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.